You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Health outcome gaps for Māori and Pacifica suffering from cardiovascular conditions have been apparent for quite some time. In order to address this ongoing problem, a group of researchers involved in the Manawatiki Whatuwhatu for Access conducted a qualitative study where they interviewed Māori and Pacifica patients in cardiovascular care to uncover the causes behind these health gaps, as well as potential solutions. To discuss the study and its findings, I spoke to Senior Research Fellow Karen Brewer from the University of Auckland of Whakatohea and Ngāi Te Rangi descent, who conducted the study and had some insights to offer on Māori and Pacifica cardiovascular health gaps. Tell us about the study and the gaps Māori and Pacifica face in cardiovascular care.
So the study, it's a large program of research that's been going on for a few years now, called Manawatiki Whatuwhatu for Access, led by Dr. Martiri Harwood, who's Māori, and Dr. Karina Gray, who's Samoan. And the focus of this research program is about achieving equity in cardiovascular or heart health outcomes for Māori and Pacific people. It involves lots of different projects, quantitative and qualitative projects. So the quantitative projects are numbers, doing lots of number crunching and getting some statistics. And what the one I've been involved in is the qualitative, the research using words. The findings that we've published recently, what we did for that was we had a team of Māori and Pacific researchers who interviewed 60 or so Māori and Pacific people who've experienced a heart check or problems with their heart about their experiences of heart health care. We did this because we know that there are lots of gaps for Māori and Pacific people when it comes to heart health. Gaps and inequities or unfair differences, like the number of people that have heart health problems, they happen at a younger age, what treatment is received, and how successful or not that treatment is. So we wanted to explore some of these things from the perspectives of the patients and their whānau.
So what specific health gaps and cardiovascular conditions are Māori and Pacifica likely to face?
Well, the ones that we were focusing on in this research were the heart check or cardiovascular risk assessment. Because it's known that Māori and Pacific people experience heart problems at a younger age, the heart check, that's where you go to your GP and they take your blood pressure, check your blood sugar, your cholesterol, that kind of thing. That happens for non-Māori, non-Pacific men and women, men at age 45, women at age 55. But for Māori and Pacific people, that heart check has to start at age 30 for men and age 40 for women, so 15 years earlier. And that's reflective of the higher risk at a younger age. We also looked at acute coronary syndromes like heart attack and cardiac arrest and the sort of things that would take you into hospital in an emergency kind of situation and the treatment people receive for that, as well as heart failure, which is a more ongoing condition that needs more ongoing management.
Are there any factors that are possibly causing these gaps and limiting Māori and Pacifica from receiving cardiovascular care?
Oh, there's so many factors. I think a lot of it comes down to probably the fact that there's a lot of societal context, like the social determinants of health. That's things that we talk about in public health that we know impact on someone's health. So housing, employment, education, access to food, poverty, all of those kind of things. And then there's, I think, one of the major issues in terms of receiving treatment is the fact that it's just the health system is just not a Māori system. It's just not a Pacific system. It doesn't work in ways that work for Māori and Pacific people in terms of things like we value relationship and reciprocity in communication. Lots of things that just sort of don't work for Māori and Pacific people. There's also, we found our participants talked about not really seeing themselves reflected in the people who are caring for them. As one young woman said, there's no one like me there. They really valued the Māori and Pacific health workforce. When you did happen to get a doctor or a nurse or a physio or someone who was Māori or who was Pacific and could relate to you on that sort of shared cultural level, it made a huge difference to their experience of receiving care. The other thing I think is also good, or differences in access to primary care, so your GP appointments. The people that had a regular GP and could go and see the GP get appointments when they need it. That was really helpful in terms of getting an earlier diagnosis. But people who maybe they didn't get to see the same GP every time they went, or maybe they couldn't afford to get regular visits to their GP, or they didn't have transport, lots of different issues that affect it, or maybe their work schedule was such that they just couldn't actually get the time off to do that, then they could sometimes find that it took longer to get the right diagnosis and to get the right treatment. So those are some of the examples of the gaps that we identified through hearing the stories of these patients and whānau.
So going off of one of the comments you just made, how important is the role of the relationship between patients and healthcare providers in ensuring health outcomes for Māori and Pacifica?
Oh, I would say it's vital for several reasons. People are much more likely to turn up and to give you the information you need to make a good clinical decision if you've got a good relationship. One of the themes that we identified in this research was, we called it reciprocity in communication. So the communication needs to be good both ways. And if doctors are trying to work out the best treatment, work out the diagnosis, work out the best treatment, they need the best information from the patient and whānau. And the best way to get the best information is to have a really good relationship. Patients said to us, look, I'm not going to just walk straight in and tell you about my problems. We need to have a relationship before we get into those kinds of conversations.
So going back to another comment you made, and also something that's included in the study mentioned that participants felt more comfortable in the care of healthcare providers who understood their values and cultural practices. So could introducing more Māori and Pacifica into healthcare roles be a good way to reduce healthcare gaps?
Yes, definitely. Very, very important. Growing the Māori and Pacific health workforce, I mean, that's something we've been working on for quite a long time. University of Auckland, University of Otago have been working on that through things like the MAPAS program, and the impact that makes is, yeah, really can't be underestimated. It's absolutely vital. And, yeah, like one kaumātua said to us, you know, I had a Māori nurse and she just said to me, oh, tēnā koe matua. And just being greeted in that way, in the way he should be greeted in his culture, suddenly he was comfortable being in the hospital. And if someone's comfortable being in the hospital, they're more likely to receive the treatment, they're more likely to stick around and follow the advice that they're given.
Are there any other ways that we can address Māori and Pacifica health disparities and help to bridge gaps?
I think another important thing is that research, I mean, there's a lot of good research happening, there's a lot of skilled researchers working in the heart health space and in the healthcare space. But one really important aspect is it needs to be led by Māori and Pacific researchers and working with Māori and Pacific communities to make sure the things that we're investigating are the things that they want to be investigated. And also, it's very easy in this space to do what we call victim blaming, like to attribute someone's poor heart health to their lifestyle and that they should have, you know, had more self-control and had a healthier diet or those kind of things. It's very easy to blame the victim in this case. So it's really important that the research is done in the right way that sheds light on the root causes of the inequities, rather than looking at the more surface level, which might tend to just focus on trying to change people's behaviour.
Has the disestablishment of Te Aka Whai Ora, the Māori Health Authority, or any similar government policies caused a setback to Māori and Pacifica health outcomes?
I would say it definitely has. It's pretty early days in that, in the disestablishment, but it gives us less scope for some of the sort of business not as usual approaches and Māori ways of doing things. I had talked to a doctor who said that, of a cardiologist who had said that he was available to see people from outside of his area because of the way things were working, but that is probably less likely to happen with now that this way of working has been changed. So, yeah, it gives us far less flexibility and ability to cater for individuals in that culturally appropriate kind of way.
So that's almost everything, but do you have anything you'd like to, any closing statements you'd like to finish off with?
Not really. I think just the two key points that came out of this for me were the vital importance of the Māori and Pacific workforce and the need for the support for students right through from, you know, sort of primary age to primary school, high school, that pipeline to bring them to university to get them into health careers. And also the real importance of primary care, the having the good relationship with a regular GP and enough appointments available that you can actually see them on a regular basis.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.